So today I'm going to be talking about healing, this topic of healing, whether people actually want healing. And you know, this word is very powerful in itself. It can trigger a range of emotions. For some people, it can be a positive word, something that signifies moving forward, progress, letting go. And for others, it can be very triggering, where they feel hurt, where they feel pain. It brings discomfort. It makes them feel unsettled. And it's the latter category that I want to talk about today. Now, of course, I will make it specific to race and talk about whether Black people as a collective really want healing. But, you know, this topic can be applied to your individual situations, whether that's past trauma, whether that's past hurts that you've experienced, and you find yourself expressing yourself in certain destructive ways. You have to ask yourself whether this is tied to things that you experienced, faced, and whether you really want healing. Now, this question might seem straightforward, but it's not. And asking this question becomes trickier when your answer becomes, no, I don't want healing, or it's unclear. It becomes tricky. But I have to ask this because of some recent things that have been happening, you know, in society in terms of race and culture, and some of the things I've been seeing in terms of how some Black people are reacting and behaving. You know, a quick example about the race and ethnicity report that recently came out that highlighted many gaps and inequalities that still exist that don't favor many Black people, many people from the ethnic minority groups. But what it did affirm is that it's not convinced that institutional racism, so not racism, not interpersonal, not even racism at, let's say, higher levels, like maybe bias in not getting a job and things like that. These things do still happen. But in terms of institutional, i.e. the country has set itself up and it's still currently set up today in 2021 to make sure that ethnic minority groups are at the bottom. Okay, I need people to get this. It's not saying that there aren't biases, there aren't discriminations that happen, but what it's saying is that systematically, institutionally, Britain is not rigged against ethnic minority groups. And there are other factors at play, you know, variety of factors at play when it comes to where a person is on the social economic ladder. And this is very important because it's what I've been saying all along. When you think it's a system that's set up against you, you're doomed because there's nothing you can do unless the system does something, right? You will not be able to be successful unless the system allows you. But when you see that, yes, you may go through different biases and prejudices in life, but ultimately your pathway is not automatically written out by anyone or anything. You are in charge of your life. Self-ownership. You are responsible for your life. You are responsible for your actions, your reactions, your next steps, the opportunities that you go for or don't go for. That's on you. That's not on the system. So, you know, there was such a big backlash and not just about the report, you know, but the people who wrote the report were subject to disgusting and vile and humiliating abuse and attacks. And 80% of these people were Black and from ethnic minority groups. You know, quite racial slurs against them by other Black people, by other people in ethnic minority groups, so-called minority. You know, so it makes me think, what do people want? You know, what is it that they are looking for that will be that golden moment of, alas, we've made it? What is it? Because it seems like everything that comes out to signify or illustrate that we've made some kind of progress, it's pretty much burnt to the ground and not accepted, because they feel that if they accept that, then, which is what many said, well, now Britain thinks they don't need to do anything else. That's absolutely stupid, because there were so many recommendations that the Prime Minister said that they will look into. So it's not them saying there's no racism, so everyone fold their arms. It's still saying there's racism and there's other things. Now let's go to the next step. But if people are too in their feelings, in their emotions, in their past, in their pain, in their trauma, then they are completely blinded. They're completely blinded to what the facts and the objective situation is. So this comes back to whether people want healing, because healing means that there's progress. And if you fight every progress that's made, then you have to really ask yourself if that's what you are looking for. And if that's not what you are looking for, you need to ask what really it is that you are looking for. Revenge? Now, if all you've known is pain, then of course progress is scary for you. Words like healing and let's move on sparks fury in you. Like when I say, look, we need to move on in relation to even things like slavery. I don't mean that in a horrible way. I don't mean that in a forget the pain. Actually, no, that's what I mean. Forget the pain. You can remember the, you know, what happened. We can never forget things that happened, but you have to disassociate with the pain. And this is what I say to people who have faced trauma in their life, in their childhood. You need to forget the pain. The memory will still be there. You can never, your brain is not a computer that you press delete and all is gone. No. But we have to disassociate with the pain, because the only person that loses when we don't do that is us. It's not our so-called oppressors or abusers. It's us. It's like we are drinking poison and we are expecting another to die. It doesn't work like that. So we are keeping the grudges, we are keeping the pain, we are keeping the hurt in our hearts, and we want another person to suffer. That doesn't make sense. So all these racial slurs against white people, even against black people that don't believe in the collective thinking, it's dangerous and it needs to stop. Or what I prefer is that they are honest, because at the moment they are saying, well, we are doing these things because this is actually our way of fighting for equality. It's not. It's not. It's evil and it's rooted in vengeance. And people need to wake up to this. We need to stop giving passes to this. Now, so you know the format of my podcasts. It's a place where your voice matters. So usually I will do a poll or do a survey or do a question on my Instagram account, on my Instagram page. And then I love to hear your feedback and I love to hear your thoughts. Because like I said, you know, I'm speaking, I'm not holding back. You know, I don't really care what people say or think about me. These are my opinions, these are my views, and it's actually very beneficial if people will listen. This is a better way of thinking. I mean, I'm talking collectively as black people, and not always have this chip on our shoulder about everything and everyone and think everything is stacked up against us and anti-black and hateful of us. No, this is 2021 and it's not that way. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, it does. But we have to be careful in generalizing everything is racism and against us. So many of you may not be able to freely express these opinions, even in your private circles. And so I like to showcase your thoughts and opinions, because at least I can speak for you. Or better, you can speak through me. Okay? So I asked on my Instagram account, why do people refuse to accept progress or change, whether personally or collectively? Why is it so hard for many to admit that they are truly better than they were before? And I also asked after this, why are some people reluctant to heal? And why do they hate those who have been able to? Now, I can't read everything, but I will read some. This one says, apart from the admittedly harsh fact that a victim mentality can garner you all sorts of privilege, from sympathy from friends and family over a feeling of community with fellow other victims, possibly even getting jobs, I think it might have something to do with the fact that people are being taught to talk about race-related disadvantages and institutional discrimination to their children, who won't be able to properly comprehend the working mechanisms of said institutions for at least another 10 years. But they won't even be given the chance to evolve from that mindset that their parents have given them. And this is so true. And it's nice because this mentioned the mentalities that children are being given now. And that's so true. And it really hit the nail on the head. But before I say that, they mentioned that children won't know the full working mechanisms of these institutions for at least 10 years. And it's so crazy because I was listening to Dr. Umar. If you haven't heard of him, research him. Very intelligent guy, but I feel that some of his rhetoric is completely unhelpful and just actually quite hateful. You know, like things like a black man marrying a white woman is a betrayal, things like that. But yes, Google him. He mentioned in one of the conversations he was having that actually children from the age of 4, you know, apparently this is some research done by some university, which with all due respect doesn't mean anything nowadays because there's so many woke, you know, social justice university professors and whatever, and they're just spilling more poison into society. But that's another topic for another day. But yeah, he was saying that they already know how things work in terms of race from the age of 4, and a white child can see a black child or a black man and say, actually, I know that this black man is under me or lower than me. Are you actually kidding me? Like, seriously? No. You know, this is absolutely false. You know, children have pure and innocent minds. And I'm sorry, they do not see someone and say, this person is lower than me socially. No, it just does not happen. And that's what I mean about crazy rhetorics that are always being spread in society. It's not true. You can, just because you're trying to make a point, doesn't mean that you just say anything and everything in order to make your point. It's just absurd. But yes, I completely agree. I think having a victim mentality is even a bankable asset now. One of my friends wasn't in a good place for a while, and my other friend, we were talking about it and how we can help them, and then she said, well, I'm going to send them some money. And I said, why are you sending them money? And they said, I don't know, maybe that will help, without even knowing what the real issue was. So I said, well, in that case, I'm not in a good place either. And we started to laugh. But on a deeper level, can you see, you know, having that victimhood, being in that victimhood state brings attention, brings money, especially if you are in the so-called minority groups, if you're black, if you're gay and someone has hurt you and upset your feelings. That's not a joke anymore. That's the whole world will move to make sure that you are okay. So that's very attractive. Why would people want to leave that state when that state is what brings whatever they feel they need? Now, some other people wrote, because for some, victimizing is easier than taking responsibility for failure. Very true. Someone wrote, it's no longer that they're oppressed by the system. It's a personal failure, and that is unbearable. Yep. I just can't. And I never have blamed any of my failures to a system. I just can't grow and develop that way. Because if I blame it all on the system, then how can I move forward? How can I grow? How can I learn? I can't, because it's not me, it's the system. So I will stay where I am until the system changes. And like I said before, I'm the one that loses on opportunities. I stay stuck. So my failures are my responsibility. I'm speaking for myself now. My failures are my responsibility. If I do not get something, I didn't work hard enough. I was lazy in some moments. I took breaks when I shouldn't have taken breaks. It's my responsibility, because if it's my responsibility, I have control about that and I can change it, for goodness sake. Why is this so hard to enter the minds of people, whoever they are? Someone wrote, victim mentality becomes a part of the personality, and without it, identity becomes lost. So true. Now, in terms of the second question as well, someone wrote, some don't think they need to heal or be better, and they are jealous of when others do. Completely agree. Healing can be hard work. It's easy to be jealous when we see someone do what we wish we had done. Again, about jealousy, and that's true. And can I be honest with you? Let me speak to you guys. Some of the words I hear from Black people and I see from Black people, some Black people, right? It's like there is a level of, or a hint of jealousy. It's crazy. Especially this thing of white privilege, which I never fully understand, because even when you say to them, even when you push back and say, well, working class white boys are pretty much the lowest in the socioeconomic ladder. Where is the privilege in that? Then they say, well, but they're still white. So what is the issue, guys? Like, what I don't understand. I'm not trying to be funny or sarcastic. So the problem is that they're white. Like, do you want to be white? Do you hate that you're Black and they're white? I don't understand. What is the issue with the color white? What is the problem? Because it can't be just that you feel that you're behind, because many white people are behind. But then you say, well, that doesn't matter because, you know, they still have the privilege of being white. So no matter where a white person is, you just think that they outright have privilege, and that privilege is embedded in their skin color. Like, does that make sense? Because it doesn't make sense to me at all. I'm not being funny, white people. I love you guys. But I do not see that your white skin is privilege. You know, if you have white skin and your mentality is poor, then you do not have any privilege over me. We're able to do whatever we need to do to make ourselves happy and content in life. So it's really crazy. Now, someone wrote, being a victim is cool in this day and age. If you're not a victim, well, then you must be the oppressor. And this is so true. Like, we've split the world into two. Those who are victims and those who are the victimizers. Those who are oppressed and those who are the oppressors. Life is not as simplistic as this. When you do that, you miss out. You miss out in exploring how dynamic life can be, how spontaneous and unpredictable life can be. Now, someone wrote, if they admit that they're better than before, then they'll be like everyone else. They'll be equal to everyone, and then they won't feel special. Exactly. Healing takes work and involves introspection and humility. It's hard to let go of bitterness. Very true. Very, very true. So powerful. All the comments, you know, very, very powerful. So this is it for today. We have to ask ourselves, for there to be true progress, do we really want healing? If the answer is no, then we have to look back in and check with our inner self. Because without healing, then we can never move forward. And like I said, I'm talking about race, but this is in relation to anything else, individually, collectively, that's happening in society today. So thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please, I'm on Instagram, Different Voice X. You can send me an email, differentvoicex@gmail.com. And like I said, look out for my next questions, because you might be featured, your response might be featured in my podcast. So thank you. Have a great day and speak soon.